in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Notice with me, as we come down to verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 10 is going to be our text this morning, dealing with widows, even though we're not going to title the message widows. We're going to title the message this morning, Christian Women, as we meet here today on Mother's Day. And we're going to see here there's a model that's given to us. There's a pattern. There's an example that's given to us here in dealing with widows. You notice in verse 9, as we come here, he said, "And let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man." In verse 10, "Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work." And verse 14 says, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Father, we thank You this morning for this wonderful privilege again that You've given us to assemble together here this morning. And Lord, we ask that You anoint and bless the reading of Thy Word here publicly today. And Lord, I pray that as we come to the Scriptures, I pray for each sister that's here this morning that You will bless them and encourage them in the Word of God, and especially these who are trying to follow Your will and trying to be pleasing to Thee. I pray for encouragement in their hearts today, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, as we come here, and again, I'm just going to title the message, Christian Women. You say it's a strange place to start a passage that's dealing with widows, whether to bring a widow into the church for support and those kind of things. But I've preached many sermons throughout the years on Mother's Day and dealing with a number of different topics, mostly focusing in upon the aspect of being a mother. And we do know that the honoring of mothers have biblical warrant. I mean, it's very clear in the Scripture. One of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and verse 12 is that we are commanded to honor mothers. There are two books of the Bible that are named after mothers, or after women, and I'll put it that way. There's over 200 women in the Bible that are mentioned by name, and there are many others that are mentioned, maybe not by name, but are mentioned. For instance, like Noah's wife and others. But they're mentioned in the Bible. And so as we come here this morning, and to speak on this subject, and again I'm going to title this Christian Women, I don't mind telling you this morning that I praise you and honor you as a mother, as a woman of God. I just honor you this morning because to be a homemaker today, to be a wife, to be a mother, to be a servant of the Lord is frowned on by the world. There's many critics. There's many attacks today against the home to tear down these truths. And over the years, I have tried to recognize and exalt the position that God has given to the sisters in the local assembly. Do you realize that today, as of this year, there's more children that are born outside of marriage in America than there is born inside of marriage now? That's where we're at in our country. And from every angle possible, the home is being attacked. And when you attack the home, you're ultimately attacking the church and also society. And so the church and society is based upon the home. Now, I want you to notice as I read verse 9 and 10 again, and the verse 10 is a fascinating verse, and I want to spend a little bit of time here in this verse. My first point this morning is going to be centered around verse 10, and my first point this morning is a description of a saintly woman. That's the first thing we're going to look at this morning, The second thing we're going to consider is some examples of godly women in Scripture. We've talked about these many times. And number three, we're going to consider what Christianity has done for women in the world. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that verse 9 and 10, especially verse 10, is a description of a saintly woman, a godly woman. We see here God's evaluation of a special woman in the church of Jesus Christ. Now notice, now the text, the context, is speaking of the qualification of widows being brought into the assembly or into the church for financial support. You see, as you read down through this chapter, the apostle is dealing with the fact that here they are widows, and they're called widows indeed in verse 3. They are widows who are alone. They're widows that have no relatives, obviously have no husband to take care of them and to help them and support them. And they're referred to as widows indeed. And he's talking about when and how do you bring a widow into the church to support her financially? And here's what the apostle says in this passage. He said in verse 9, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man." In other words, she's got to, she's cannot be remarried, and she's got to be at least 60 years of age. But notice with me in verse 10, and this is interesting, and I believe that every, not only widows, but mothers, married wives, single women, I believe every woman ought to take this passage and try to pattern their life after this verse. You see, when it comes to the men in the assembly, we ought to find every verse that we can that deals with the character and the disposition of a man, and whether it be single or married or whatever, and we ought to meditate upon those verses. They are passages in the Bible that deal with ministers, with preachers. One is 1 Timothy chapter 3. The other one is Titus chapter 1. And there's other places, but I go to those often and read those and say, do I measure up to these? And I plead with God that I will be able to be obedient to those verses. Well, here is a verse in the Bible that I believe that every woman, every person should, whether mother, whatever, that they should consider this passage. And this verse is describing a saintly woman. Now notice as we read this, again, he says in verse 10, now again, don't forget that this is talking about whether a widow is qualified to be brought into the assembly for financial support. Let's say she's alone, she has no husband, she has no family to help her, she has no one to help her. And so the apostle's saying, here is the qualification for her to be brought in for financial support. Number one, she has to be at least 60 years of age. Now notice in verse 10, and I want to walk you through some of these words this morning and point them out. And he said in verse 10, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, and if she have diligently followed every good work. He's saying if these things are true in her life, then bring her in to the church for financial support. And so there's several thoughts that comes from this verse that I believe that every sister, every lady ought to take and consider and say, let my life be patterned after this. I want you to notice that the apostle here did not mention anything about degrees. He did not mention, and I'm not against education, he did not mention anything about ministry. Did you notice that? He did not mention anything about retirement benefits and insurance. He didn't mention anything about careers. Did you notice that? Have y'all noticed that yet? He didn't mention anything about positions as maybe the president or vice president of some corporation. He didn't mention anything about that. He didn't mention anything about having a gold medal for an Olympic Games or any kind of sports activity. He didn't mention anything about politics or being in the military. He didn't mention anything about those things. But he said that she be well reported of for good works. Good works is mentioned twice in this passage. That she be well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. There is the qualifications for a widow to be brought into the assembly for financial support. And again, if you were to ask, what is a godly woman? What is all of this entail? And you start asking people in the world, you're going to get 100 different answers. Now let's walk through some of these thoughts and these words for a few moments. First point this morning is that we see a description of a saintly woman. That is God's evaluation of a special woman in the church of Jesus Christ. And you can say amen every now and then, because this is a very positive sermon for those of you that have chosen to be a homemaker, to be a keeper at home, to have children, to be a housewife, to not try to be a leader in the church. These verses are encouragement to you this morning. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that it says here that verse 10, that she be well reported of for good works. That is, that many would be able to bear witness to the testimony that this woman is of good character and of good reputation. All right? Then the good works, I'm going to say something about that in a few moments. She's always looking for ways that she can serve the Lord God. Now, he says here also in this passage that if she have brought up children, Paul is not condemning barrenness, but he's talking about those who refuse to raise the children they have in the proper way, that is, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He is not condemning. There's been many women throughout history, women we know right now that are barren, and God or the apostle is not condemning that in any way. We go back in the Old Testament, and we can go back. There was Sarah back there that for 90 years had no children and finally had one child, and that was it. Rachel had two. There's others that we read of women in the Bible that did not have children. Now, we know that normally women have children, right? That is the norm. The norm is that most people get married, but it's not a sin if you do not get married. The norm is that you will have children. But we do not have the right to question God whenever somebody is barren or somebody cannot have children. That is between that is up to the Lord. We don't have the right that now we can pray for them. We can plead with God, we can confess our sins, we can seek His will, but that is up to God as to how many children that we'll have in the home or whether or not we'll have any children. Can I get an amen? That's not for us to decide. So the apostle is not condemning barrenness because there are many women in the Bible who were barren. But what is he saying? He is condemning those who refuse to raise up children in the proper way in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do you know why that many are undisciplined, adults are undisciplined today in the church of Jesus Christ? We've seen it. Because many are undisciplined in the home. And you know that undisciplined children is a bad reflection upon the mother and upon what she does in her home. How many can say amen to that? What it goes on with the children that are undisciplined, who does people usually look at first of all? Come on, help me out. They usually look at the mama. Why? Because the mama is with them day in and day out and day in and day out, and it proves that there has not been proper discipline that's been taking place in the home. So he says here in this passage, he said in verse 10, he says this, he said, well reported of for good works if she have brought up children. That is, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And if they are not disciplined, it will show up when they're in public and it will bring embarrassment to the mother and the entire family as far as that's concerned. And we have a lot of undisciplined adults today in the church. We've experienced it in this church over the last 22 years. And a lot who are undisciplined, they do not know how to act as Christians. And it all began somewhere back there years ago in the home. Children got by with things they should have never gotten by with. And the Bible says it brings shame to the mother. Now notice something else that we see in this passage. He says here in verse 10, notice in the middle of the verse, and he says here, and if she have lodged strangers. This is showing hospitality, a virtue greatly commended in the Word of God. In talking about preachers in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, he says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, diligent, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. That's what he's talking about. As a matter of fact, when he speaks of lodging strangers and washing the saints' feet and whatever and relieving the fleet, he's talking about hospitality. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 16, turn there with me. In Acts chapter 16, and notice here, hang on to our text until we get through with this first point. There's other verses in the Bible that bear these truths out. And I'll give them in Hebrews chapter 13, if you're taking notes, not asking you to turn there. But in verse 2 it said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Then in 1 Peter in chapter 4 and in verse 9, the Bible very clearly says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And then in Romans, if you're taking notes, chapter 12 and verse 13, we have these words given to us. It says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. A lot is said about the wife, the mother, the woman of showing hospitality. Much is said about that. And it shows up in her home, whether or not she is hospitable to people. In the book of Acts, you'll notice with me in chapter 16, and I'm going to be reading from verse 14 and verse 15. It says this, and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart, notice, the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which are spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained them. We're talking about lodging strangers, washing the saints' feet, relieving the afflicted. Here's a woman that when the Lord opened her heart, she opened up her home. Her home was opened up to those the apostles, to people in the church and others. Her home is opened up. And after that Paul got out of jail and Silas, you'll notice in verse 40 it says, and they went out of the prison and entering into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Her home became an oasis for individuals, for saints, for strangers or whatever. She was willing to entertain others and be a servant to them. Now back in 1 Timothy chapter 5, you'll notice here, and by the way, Abraham entertained strangers unaware. In Genesis chapter 18, now notice as we come to this passage in verse 10, he says, "And if she have lodged strangers, and it says, and if she have washed the saints' feet." Now this speaks of humility. After the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John chapter 13. Now either this is taken in the literal sense of literally washing the feet of other individuals, or it denotes the humility and self-denial in a person's life. At the time that this was written, we do know that it was customary with people traveling and the dusty roads, and most people walked everywhere they went, that there's water brought to them, and many times their feet were washed, and they, in other words, they were treated as guests, and it would be probably something similar today of meeting a guest and taking their coat, taking their muddy shoes or whatever the case may be, and helping them unpack the car, helping them, you know, get comfortable in your home, and preparing them a meal, those kind of things. And we see in Luke 7, if you're taking notes, in verse 36 through 46, the woman with the alabaster box of ointment, she anointed the Lord, she washed His feet, she even kissed His feet. And again, as I mentioned with Abraham in Genesis 18, you could go to Genesis 19, Lot did the same thing with the bringing water to wash the feet. Again, entertaining angels at that time. And then Laban in Genesis 24, verse 32. Have you noticed that God views you sisters a lot different than the world looks at you? Have you noticed that? The world will say, well, does she have a degree? The world would say, well, what business does she create? And what business is she, how far has she climbed the ladder? Has she been in the military? Has she done this and has she done that? You know, the world will be evaluating your worth based upon their principles. But God evaluates your value based upon His Word. And I'm saying to you that you sisters in this church, that you are trying to follow the Word of God, and do not let the world tell you that you're worthless, but go to God's Word and see the things that you have tried to follow and that God praises you over and over in the Scriptures because of the course that you have set. You've been keepers at home, those of you in this church. You've been keepers at home. You have desired children, have you not? You've desired to have them, desired to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You've desired to be a homemaker, to be a wife, to follow the Lord, to be faithful to His church and things of that nature. This is what we're talking about in this passage. Now, coming back to verse 10 again, he also says in this passage, and he says, "And if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, that is, helped those in distress, have a sympathetic heart to the weak and weep for those that weep, and doing things for others," as Romans 12, 13 I just read a moment ago, and also in Luke chapter 10, verse 31 through 35, with the Good Samaritan. And then we find he comes to the last part of this, and he says, "And if she have diligently followed every good work." I want you to notice, followed every good work with all her heart, soul, mind, strength for the kingdom of God. I want you to notice he not only saying here that she have done good works, but has she followed good works? Not just done them, but it is her heart's desire to follow good works. And you say, where do you find all that at in the Word of God? Over and over in the Bible, God speaks of good works. In Matthew 5, verses 16, He says that we're to do our good works for men to see them, that they might glorify God. Turn loose here and go into Ephesians chapter 2 and notice this. In Ephesians chapter 2, good works. Talking about good works. A sister that stays home and tries to follow the Lord, she's doing good works. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 2. We're not talking about virtual homemaking. We're not talking about virtual. Somebody's telling me a few years ago that they were involved in virtual farming. And virtual friends. And virtual child training. And all this garbage. That's not real life. This is real life, what we're reading from the Word of God. And it's not always easy. You can turn the computer off if the virtual farming goes bad, or the virtual race, but you can't turn life off, amen? And this social networking today is killing many people and wasting their time. Even trying to keep up with the news today is a waste of time. I rarely look at the news, somebody tells me something, I'll go check it out, maybe on the computer or something, or those kind of things, but you can get so caught up and trying to follow the news. There's news, by the way, every day. And there's lots of it that has nothing to do with us here in this little community. And you can get caught up in this stuff and it can rob you and cause you to become lazy, whether you be male or female, if you're not careful with this. I'm not against looking at news. We got missionaries in Central America. We got missionary in Asia. And I check things. I see what's going on in the communist countries that they're working in and things like that. There's nothing wrong. But when we have to follow things every day, it'll make you lazy. It'll take your mind and your heart away from the Scripture we just read. And this social networking today is destroying a lot of people. And people saying, well, I'm making a cup of coffee now. Well, now I'm actually going to go and take a bath. There was one Hollywood star, somebody was telling me that there were like 10 million people following his every day, every minute, every hour. They were so obsessed with following it that he was, what? This is what I'm doing. I'm smoking a cigarette now. I'm actually driving my car now. And there's millions of people following this garbage. This is real life, what we're looking at in the Word of God. This is real life. Now, talking about good works, Spurgeon had said this. He said, the adornment of good works, the adornment in which we hope to enter heaven is the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. But the adornment of a Christian here below is His holiness, His piety, His consistency. If some people had a little more piety, they would not require such a showy dress. If they had a little more godliness to set them off, they would have no need whatsoever to be always decorating themselves. The best earrings that a woman can wear are the earrings of hearing the Word with attention. The best ring that we can have upon our finger is the ring that the father puts upon the finger of the prodigal son when he is brought back. And the very best dress we can ever wear is a garment wrought by the Holy Spirit, the garment of a consistent conduct. But it is amazing, while many are taking all the trouble they can to array this poor body, they have very few ornaments for their soul. They forget to dress the soul. I made sure that was on the front of an article we wrote on good works about 5 years ago. And another, Abraham Booth, he said this. He said, by obedience to the commands of God, we evidence the sincerity of our holy profession. By this our faith is declared genuine before men. Whosoever pretends to believe in Jesus and is not habitually careful to perform good works, his faith is worthless, barren, dead. By a good conversation in which our light shines before men, we edify our brethren, silence opposers, and preserve the gospel from those reproaches which would otherwise be cast upon it as if it were a licentious doctrine. Two great quotes just on the subject of good works. God over and over in Scripture speaks of good works. And twice in 1 Timothy 5:10, He mentions in the beginning of the verse and at the end of the verse, good works. These are the things that God is looking for in you sisters and in the men as far as that's concerned. Titus 3:8 said it's necessary that those who believe in God to maintain good works. He said it's necessary. Now, notice as we read Ephesians 2, I'm going to read verse 8 and 9, then read verse 10. He says in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." We use a stop right there. But verse 10 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has ordained that you and I should walk in good works. We are not saved by our good works, verse 8 and 9, but we are saved unto good works in verse 10. And good works are evidence that we have truly been saved and been born again. Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts and notice with me in chapter 1. Now, let's come to our second point this morning. That is examples of godly women that are given to us in the Word of God. Notice in Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read one verse from this chapter. Notice very carefully as we come here, then we're going to go to Acts chapter 9 and then back to Acts chapter 16. Now, he says here in Acts chapter 1, I'm going to be reading one verse, what are the examples that are given to us in Scripture of godly women? Well, they're just many. The list goes on and on. And we see many. We see a woman in Acts 9 by the name of Dorcas. And she had sewn many garments for the needy. We find a woman by the name of Lydia, we just read about in Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, that she opened her heart and she opened her home to the Lord and she opened them to God's people. We find it in Romans 16, in verses 1 and 2, there's a woman by the name of Phoebe. And the Bible says she's a servant of the church and she is a helper of the Apostle Paul and many others that were in the church. She was a servant of the church. There's a woman in Romans 16, verses 3 through 5. Her name is Priscilla. And she opened her home for the people to have church in her home. Martha and Mary in John 12 and Luke 10 showed hospitality, opening their home. Their home was an oasis to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there many times. In Luke chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3, there's Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. And these three women not only helped the Lord, but they financially helped support the Lord in His ministry. There's a woman by the name of Anna in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 and 38. She's a widow of 84 years. And she lived with her husband 7 years before he died. And the Bible says she served God in prayer and fasting night and day at the temple. She spent her life in prayer. She was widowed at an early age and she spent her life in prayer and in fasting at the temple. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 30, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she is called blessed, for her faithfulness and her love to God. She's called blessed because of that. In Matthew 26, verses 7 through 13, there's another woman that anointed the Lord Jesus Christ, showing her love and affection for the Savior. And the Lord even says, I believe this is Mary of Bethany, the Lord said, let her name be given when the gospel is preached. Don't tell me that women are not honored in the Bible. Don't tell me that the Lord, I mean, when we come to Scriptures, the Lord, many women ministered to the Lord, with the Lord, and involved in the church, and the Lord praised them for that. 1 Peter 3, verses 5 and 6, Sarah, she adorned herself in obedience to God and her husband. She was a housewife. And the Bible says she is a holy woman who followed the Lord. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, and also chapter 3 and verse 11, Ruth was called a virtuous woman in that she loved God and followed Him dearly. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, Hannah, we find her that she was a praying woman. She was dedicated to the Lord, and she served the Lord. And you should read about the song that she wrote, or the poem that she wrote in reference to her God and her Savior. Isn't it interesting this morning how that we can read the same book, the same Bible, and so many can come to so many different conclusions of it? There are those that can read 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10 this morning, and just it doesn't mean anything to them. They got a totally different interpretation to it than what we've just seen this morning in the Scriptures. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting that our own president that says that he has faith and at the same time embraces sodomy. It's amazing that the Speaker of the House, a lady, says that her Catholic faith is what caused her to embrace sodomy. I'm sorry, but that's a contradiction. We may not agree with the Catholic faith, but her Catholic faith didn't cause her to embrace sodomy. For that faith speaks out against it. Had a man called me the other night, a preacher friend of mine. He called me the other night, and we talk about everything, and he said that he's just gotten tired of people blaspheming his God. He said one man in his presence was quoting an old country song, "God is great and beer is good," and I forget the rest of it. And he said he rebuked him there. He said, I guess if I wasn't a good worker, I'd have lost my job. But he said, get tired of being called a legalist or trying to live right and dress right and listen to the right music and those kind of things. And he said that he told somebody recently, he said, when I adhered to the world standards, he said, nobody ever called me a legalist. He said, I drank and smoked and cursed. He said, I wouldn't even go in a restaurant and eat in that restaurant unless they served beer and would let me smoke in there. And he said, I wore short pants and hardly ever wore a shirt, and I wanted my wife to wear shorts and a halter top. And he said, nobody called me a legalist when I was following the world standards. He said, now, when I'm trying to follow God, they call me a legalist. I said, can I use that, brother? I said, you don't have a copyright on that, do you? Do you see what the world does? You see what they do? By the way, I was in the world for 19 years. Nobody ever called me a legalist. I did everything the world said to do, just about. But now we get called a legalist day in and day out. I don't even want to know the times that I've been called that behind my back. I've been called it enough to my face. And I'm saying this, you sisters that love God, that you try to dress right and live right and do right, you don't fit in with this world anymore, do you? You don't fit in. You're an oddball. You just don't fit in. In Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read here and go to Acts 9, and I gave you the reference to all the other ladies I've just mentioned. And so you can look at those later. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, when they're waiting for Pentecost to come and they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come in power, the Bible said in verse 14, and these all continued, notice, with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. I want you to notice they're gathered together. This is the church of Jesus Christ. They're in the upper room. They're praying and they're fasting and they're waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit in power that they may begin this unique ministry. And we find that they're all together in one accord praying in supplication with the women. The women were involved in the church and played a great role. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 9. And notice with me as we read from verse 36 to verse 42. Acts chapter 9, reading from verse 36 to verse 42. And we find here it says this. It says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. Now I'm reading that slow. This woman was full of good works. Twice God said, if you're going to bring a widow in for financial support, He says twice she must be filled with good works. And He said in verse 37, He said, and it shall come to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And of course, she was raised from the dead in the next few verses. What are they saying? Well, you just got to remember she was the head of this corporation and she done this and she done that and she was a leader in the military and she was a minister in the church. No, it doesn't say anything like that. It says in the passage here, and all of the widows in verse 39 stood by him weeping, showing the coats and the garments, notice, that this woman made while she was with them. She was following 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 10, even though it wasn't even written down, because the truths of that is all through the Scripture. Now turn over to John chapter 8. Notice with me in John chapter 8. There's many more examples. And I would challenge you sisters in this church that you would spend your time looking at those examples and not be listening to the things the world has to say. Because God over and over, shows you the value of being obedient to Him. Now, the third and last thing I want to give you this morning is, what has Christianity done for you women? Now, I want you to think about that. What has Christianity done for you women? I want you to notice in John chapter 8, begin reading in verse 31, I'm saying that Christianity has brought freedom. Christianity has brought liberty. Christianity has brought worth into your life. Christianity has brought equality and peace. You say, what do you mean by equality? Well, according to Galatians 3, verse 26, 27, 28, there is neither male nor female in Christ. All are equal in Christ. There's equality with male and female in Christ. We're not throwing the doctrine of headship out the window. The headship is in the Bible. But the doctrine of headship and the doctrine of equality can live side by side. In Christ, you're not inferior to the man in any way. And so there's freedom, there's liberty, there's equality that Christianity has brought to each and every one of you. Now, when we consider the subject of feminism, and I realize that it has been defined in our society as the one women's rights movement, is defined that they're talking about freedom and equality and all those kind of things. But feminism is an attack on all divine institutions in the Bible, whether it be the home, whether it be the church, or whether it be the state. Christianity has exalted women and lift her up out of the cultures that have enslaved her, that have degraded her, and have abused her. There's many cultures still to this day that enslave women. We were with someone in Asia just weeks ago that had been sold into slavery. That had been sold into slavery, that was in the church that we preached at. In the Bible, we find that both the man and the woman are to be honored in Exodus 20. 1 Peter 3:7 says that the man and woman are heirs together of the grace of life or the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 5:8 demands that the man protect and provide for the woman. In Romans 16, women, many women, I never even mentioned them all, influenced the church of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, both men and women on the day of Pentecost received the same gift, the same Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost that would abide within them and give them power. There's equality in that sense. And this doesn't destroy the doctrine of headship. Pagan cultures reduces women to slavery or either sexual objects or both. As one writer says, he said that they make slaves out of them. Sometimes they're petted slaves, but they're still slaves. And there's been cultures that would worship the goddess Diana and at the same time not raise the status of women in society. Now you think about that. And many of the Greek philosophers considered the greatest minds of their days. Here's what many of them believed. They believed that women were inferior creatures by nature. Do you see what the Bible, do you see what Christianity has done for women? No, it's not destroyed headship in any way, but Christianity has brought you into a safe environment. It's lifted you up out of the pagan cultures, made you equal with a man in Christ Jesus. And it's given you an honored position, and it's also given you a place of protection and provision, and that you, even though you're not leaders in the home, you're not leaders in the church, you're not leaders in society, you play a very important role in the home and in the church and in society. John chapter 8, reading from verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered Him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now notice in verse 44 of the same chapter. You see, Orthodox Christianity is not hostile toward women. I realize there are those who profess to be Christians that may be hostile toward it, but Orthodox Christianity does not or is not hostile toward women in any way. The Bible said here in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil. The Lord speaking to the Pharisees, Sadducees, And he said, the lust of your fathers you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. Notice he's not only a liar. How many believe the devil is a liar? He's not only a liar, but he's also what? The father of it. He is the originator of it. If you read Genesis 3, verses 1 through about 10, very slowly and very carefully, you'll find that the devil entered into the Garden of Eden and he went straight to the woman. And he deceived the woman. The Bible's very clear on that. And he made her think that God was holding something from her. But he was protecting her. Many today, many in our society today, and there's many women today, feel like they're being held back. They feel like something is being held, like God is holding out on them. And that's exactly the lie of the devil. And when he went into the garden, Satan convinced the woman, number one, to deny God's love. Number two, he convinced the woman to be discontent with the gift that God has given to her. And number three, he caused her to despise her role and to seek after something that brought destruction to the family, the first family, in paradise many, many years ago. Satan is a liar, and the father of it, he's still alive, he's still well, and he's still bringing the same lie today that he brought in the Garden of Eden. There is no happiness, peace, or joy, or freedom outside of the will of God. You want to be the most miserable person in the world, be a Christian, and try to violate God's principles and get out of His will, and violate 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10 and 100 other verses that are associated with it. And you can live your life in bitterness and hatred toward the things of God. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 31. Or you can live your life in peace and joy. Is it going to be perfect? No. Is it going to everything going to be smooth and sailing? No. No. But you can honestly stand before God with a pure heart, with a pure motive, with peace and joy, knowing that you followed His will. Now, as we turn to this passage, I want to read verse 10. It talks about a virtuous woman. But in chapter 12, if you're taking notes, verse 4, it said a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Chapter 14, verse 1, says, every wise woman buildeth her house. Now, it's got more in the verse. It talks about the foolish woman. In chapter 18, in verse 22, we have these words. He said, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. In chapter 19 and in verse 14, he says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. We'll close in Proverbs chapter 31. If you could just realize this morning your worth and your value, and if you could realize this morning how Jesus spoke well of women, they played a big part in His life and His ministry. There's always women involved in the Lord's life and in His ministry. Who was it waiting at the tomb for the resurrection? Always women involved following the Lord. There's a woman that anointed the Lord's feet, and with tears she washed His feet and wiped His feet with her hair. We see these truths all through the Word of God. The tender-hearted women in the Bible that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many that are mentioned. And here, as we come to our last passage in the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs contrasts the bad woman with the good and closes on a very positive note. And he says in verse 10, he said, who can find a virtuous woman, now notice, for her price is far above rubies. And he lists many things about a woman's life, her husband, her family, her work. He mentions the fact that she's willing to work with her hands. She's not lazy. You know, she's not doing this virtual networking and all this garbage we talked about a moment ago. But she's diligent. She's serious. You see this all the way through this passage. And I'm going to read verse 25 through verse 31, and we'll close this morning. And just notice, her virtue is contrasted with her husband, her family, her works, her character, things of that nature. He says here in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters, that's single women, have done virtuously, but thou, the wife, excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We come back to the issue of good works. Of good works. In years gone by, and I don't believe this is the case now, but in years gone by, I could preach a message like this and have one walk out the door and say, I don't like the message, and have another walk out the door and say, that's a great message. It depends on who you are and where you at with the Lord is how you receive these words. There's many other verses we could have turned to this morning. But I say, once again, those of you that are trying to follow the Scripture, you say, well, I've failed in those and some ways, but those of you that are trying to follow the Scripture, and those of you that are looking at these verses and saying, Lord, help me to conform to them, I'm saying to you that there's crowns and rewards, and God honors this. And don't ever let this world rob you of your joy and rob you of your peace. Because many of those out there that appear to be happy, it's a front. It's all superficial. God has given us His Word, whether it be children, whether it be the sisters, whether it be the brethren, whatever. God has given us the Scriptures to show us how that we can follow Him. God honors you sisters for your faith in Jesus Christ and following Him. And I honor you this morning for your faithfulness to God Almighty. Shall we stand? I want to pray, and we're going to sing, and you're going to take some favorites here for the sisters this morning. Shall we just stand and let me pray? Let me pray for you this morning. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your love and kindness and mercy to us. And Lord, we ask Your blessings upon each sister here this morning. And we ask that Your will to be done in their lives. And Lord, whether one is single, one is a mother, wife, or whether widow, we pray, God, Lord, that You give them peace in their heart and let them see their worth and their value. A virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. Lord, help us to see that there's nothing else in this world that can be compared to the virtue that is in the sister. We pray, God, that You give them peace and joy. Lord, help them to rejoice in the fact that they've tried to follow You and follow Your Word. For it's in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.